Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Press TV's special coverage of the situation going on in Yemen. Well, first of all, as we speak, the situation in Yemen is deteriorating and escalating. First of all, let's give you an update of the latest situation on the ground. The recent news regarding Yemen is that Saudi Arabia has continued to pound Yemen with the latest airstrikes targeting areas in the north and southwest of the country. Witnesses and local officials in the city of Taiz say airstrikes hit the Al-Tariq airbase in the southwestern city. Strikes also targeted arms depots and the civilian airport in the northern city of Sadr. The Saudi operation against Yemen has received support from several countries. That is Egypt, Morocco, the Arab League, the United States and Turkey are among the main supporters of the Saudi attacks against Yemen. On the other hand, there are a number of countries which are opposing the Saudi operation. Iran is among the leading countries against this operation, calling for dialogue and urging regional countries to abstain from military intervention. The European Union has also said that military action is not a solution. Russia, China, Syria, Lebanon's Hezbollah and Iraq have also opposed the Saudi aggression. Of course, earlier attacks targeted the capital Sana'a. Dozens of civilians have been killed or injured since the Saudi-led invasion began on Wednesday. The invasion comes amid fresh gains by Yemen's popular Ansarullah fighters against the former government, Al-Qaeda and Takfiri groups. Meanwhile, Saudi media say Yemen's fugitive former president, Abu Mansur Hadi, is now in Riyadh. After leaving Yemen, he's due to go to Egypt later to attend a two-day Arab summit from Saturday. Well, let's put the situation in Yemen into context and talk to our guests. From London, I'm joined by Shabir Hassan Ali, activist and Islamic scholar. And from Ontario, I'm joined by Edward Corrigan, international lawyer and human rights attorney. Welcome to you both, gentlemen. If I can start with you, Mr. Hassan Ali. First of all, what do you think is the main goal behind this invasion, and how much do you think it could restore stability in Yemen, as the Saudis claim?
I think it's actually, if it wasn't such a tragic situation, the comment that somehow military action is going to bring stability anywhere is... Honestly, it can only be the words of someone who is mentally incapacitated. If anyone reads a little bit of recent history, the Zionists did and said very similar things when they started attacking Lebanon, even from the early years in 73 and then 82 and 96 and 2000, 2006. And they were all failed strategies. What did it do? Brought the people together. It nurtured the culture of resistance. And now the Zionists even shake just at the mention of the word Lebanon or even Hezbollah. And you have the Saudis who, I mean, it's very disappointing that they've moved in this direction, and now they're attempting the same project in Yemen. Now, what's very interesting is I was listening to a radio station, I can't remember which one, on my way back from work. And one of the pundits on that station was saying that Al-Qaeda and the Houthis are somehow going to make some sort of alliance, and this is why the Saudis have to step in and do what they have to do. This is the words of someone who is really clinically insane. It is well known, even a blind person knows, that the Al-Qaeda and Daesh and all of these other Takfiri factions are paid for, funded, and nurtured by Saudi. If the government says it's not the one nurturing them, okay, but people who are influential within the government provide a lot of succor and support to said entities. And it's well known that just very recently, 140 people, innocent people, were killed while praying in a masjid in Yemen. And this was the claim for responsibility was from Al-Qaeda. If the Arab League and if Saudi and Egypt and all of these pioneers of, I suppose you could laughingly call it Arab democracy, if these people are serious about bringing stability, then surely the direction they need to go in is after Daesh, who they claim to be terrified of and all of this. But I don't see the Arab League creating little armies, and I don't see Saudi and other countries suddenly, you know, running to Iraq's aid or Syria's aid. Rather, I see the exact opposite. So what is their aim? Of course, the aim is to create further instability. The aim is to create further problems and to further increase the hegemony of external entities, including external entities that think they're internal, such as the one occupying Palestine. And again, like I've said, this is a failed strategy.
Indeed.
Unfortunately, the problem with these type of strategies, and sometimes this is forgotten in these discussions, is that when all of these criminals start playing with their little toys and their bombs and their guns and everything, it's the little people and the children and the men and the women of the target country who suffer and who die. And all that will do, and the Saudis should understand this and have no doubts about this, anyone, they should understand this, they will create enemies for themselves without any effort if they continue this type of activity.
Indeed.
Just like what happened to Israel in when they made adventures in Lebanon and in Gaza.
All right.
This is a failed strategy and only a fool will implement it.
All right. Let's put the question to Edward Corrigan. Mr. Corrigan, just how much do you think this invasion by Saudi Arabia is in accordance with international law? And so how should such interference be dealt with?
Well, clearly, it's not in accordance with international law. It is an invasion from a foreign country of Yemen. And it's a clear, you know, military intervention on behalf of the losing side in the Yemen civil war. And also, Saudi Arabia, I think, has multiple objectives. Traditionally, Yemen has always been under the thumb of the Saudi Arabia. And in fact, the latest development that I just read is that Egypt now is also joining the airstrikes against the Hutu rebels and attacking as well as with gunboats. So this traditionally, actually, Nasser supported southern Yemen against the north, and Saudi Arabia supported northern Yemen against the south. But that's a bit in the past where you had sort of a left-right political division in the country. Now you see you've got Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State, which are Sunni and militants and are striking out against the Shia Muslims and the Hutu rebels that have made massive strides and had seized an airport and were advancing on Aden in the south. But I think the Saudis are playing a difficult game. One is they don't want a Shia state allied with Iran on its southern border. They also don't want to lose control of Yemen. But I think they're also afraid of the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda, which ultimately are a threat to the Sunni control of Saudi Arabia, which would pose a threat to the Saudi royal family. So, you know, there's multiple factors, but traditionally Saudi Arabia has always controlled Yemen. It's the poorest state in the Arab world, and it was always dominated and controlled largely by the Saudis. But they're losing control, but clearly it's a foreign armed intervention. But I think it's complicated. There's been an attempt on some parties, Israel, the British, the Americans, to get the Shias and the Sunnis to fight. And for years, it sort of was simmering, but now it's broken out in the open, where you've got, you know, full-scale war between Sunni militants in Iraq versus a Shia and backed up by Iran. And there's reports that some Iranian troops have actually interfered in, you know, are supporting the Iraqi government. You've got the same thing in Syria, where the Sunni Islamic State is having a civil war with an Arab nationalist regime, but it is based in the Alawites and it's tied to the Shia community. You've got the same sort of division in Lebanon, which fortunately is kept under control, but there was an attempt to create Sunni militias in Lebanon, basically to be a counterbalancer to fight Hezbollah, but that actually collapsed. So Lebanon has thankfully avoided these sort of problems. But you see the issues, you know, now coming forward, it's a dangerous escalation. Saudi Arabia also intervened in Bahrain when there was the Shia population majority there, and they were protesting and demanding political reforms against the Sunni monarchy there. And when there's a threat posed to the overthrowing of the feudal regime, the Saudis intervened decisively militarily and crushed the popular revolt and the crushed the democratic protests against what is essentially an autocratic feudal regime that actually is terrible in terms of its discrimination policy for the Shia majority in Bahrain. But you're seeing the Sunni Shia split sort of breaking out in the open in all sorts of ways. And I think this divides the Muslim world, divides the Arab world, and is destructive certainly to all the parties there, and is only working to the advantage of people that want to see the Arab world destroy itself, whether it's Arab nationalists versus, you know, Islamic militants. But, you know, if the Muslims stand together, if the Arabs stand together, they can solve their own problems. And this is essentially to create chaos and weakness all through the Arab world. And unfortunately, it's working. There's not enough discipline in the part of the Arab states to resolve these problems, resorting to military action, which I think, as I agree with the former speaker, is not going to solve the problem. It's only going to make it worse. And we see we're moving into a very, very dangerous phase with the Shia-Sunni conflict now erupting like a volcano.